How many of you would like to say yes to abundant living? To say yes to abundant living. Let's do it this morning. How many of you believe that abundant living is for you? That it's for you, that God, it's a promise of God. It's a promise that God has placed over your life to live abundantly. Or how many of you would just like to live mediocre? Or like live lamely? Or just not really much at all? An abundant life is God's will for us. It's God's will for us to live in a place of abundance and surplus. Think about it. We are called to be surplus people with an excess and overabundance, having portions left over in every aspect of our lives. To have a surplus soul. Surplus joy. A surplus of prayer. Think about it. A surplus of resources. A surplus of strength. A surplus of encouragement. Surplus is more than is required or needed. It's over and above what would be considered normal. Surplus is over the top. It's more than sufficient. It is excessive and beyond what is expected. How many of you remember Hoover Dam when it was more than full? I remember being out at Hoover Dam one time and they were actually turning over the spillway. And I got to watch it. It was really cool. And they turned, boom, they moved this gate over and it goes off to the side, right? And it comes out the other side. And you get to watch it and it's a lot of water. And it's just dumping and dumping and dumping. And now it's not so much like that anymore. But it was full of surplus. There was so much more than it even needed. Think about John 10:10. It says this, "The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." The message says this, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you will have life, that you will enjoy life, that you will have it in abundance, that you will have it to the full until it overflows." We're supposed to be a surplus people. We believe that God has more than enough and that he loves to lavish this type of abundance upon us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has more than enough? Do you believe that he wants to give it to you? So much so that it's more than what you need. A surplus person believes Ephesians 3:20, which says, "Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think." Do you believe that God's mighty power is at work within you? We got to believe that God is great and good. He is the God of abundance. In fact, no word in any language can accurately describe just how much God has available to us, if you think about it. We do the best we can with English. There's no language on earth that can accurately do it. That's how much God has. He is the all things are possible God. How many of you believe that? With God, everything is possible. He desires to bless us and our capacity to full and overflowing surplus. You have a capacity, and God is saying, "I want to make that capacity bigger. What you think you can handle, what you think you can have, I want to make it even bigger than what you think. I want to make it more than what you thought. I want to make it greater than you ever knew." He wants to even make our capacity bigger. Why then would you even believe for surplus or more than enough? Why would you believe for it? Why should we believe for more than enough than we need? And I heard it. So we can bless others. So we can be a blessing. We're not like supposed to be surplus people so we can have the largest bank account in the history of all time. We're supposed to be surplus people so that that surplus moves through us and out to others. And it expands who we are and our capacity to have and give. We want to be a blessing. And so we can give to those who are in need and need. We can't give what we don't have. If we always live empty and in a place of lack or scarcity, we'll never be a blessing to anyone around us. Have you ever known people that are always in a place of lack or scarcity? They always need from you, but anytime you ever needed from them, man, good luck. And they're a burden on you. Is this true? I have known people like this, and I try to encourage them, man, you know what? You need to just move from a place of lack to a place of surplus. You need to get in there with God so that you can be a blessing to people around you. And you think about it, and eventually, you know, you almost have to let people like that go because you know they're only going to drain everything you got. So let's not think the way the world thinks. The world system of thinking is a system of thinking in terms of lack and limitation. Think about how much lack you see around you everywhere. Everything is running out. We're bombarded by the words lack, scarcity, extinct, used up, shortage, and drought. We hear these words so often we begin to believe it. We are conditioned by the broken record message that the world somehow feeds us. The constant message of lack. So if we're not careful, we hold on to everything that we have and fear it will run out. Think about your cell phone. It has limited minutes, limited data, and then overcharges. It's a pain in the rear, man. It's limited everything, you know what I mean? Limited areas, limited signal, limited calling, limited plans. It's a device of absolute limit. Our cars have limited gas mileage. Our insurance has limited coverage. Now, that's a bummer. Insurance, man, you think you got insurance, and they go, well, we cover everything but everything that's wrong with your car. Limited coverage. Our oil supply is limited, right? Oil is always run out. It's all everybody talking about. Oh, we're going to run out of oil, and they never run out of oil, but I was talking about going to run out of oil. Our water supply is limited. Our electricity is limited. Our clean air is limited. Everything around us is limited, scarce and running out. So instead of developing a mind of surplus, we develop a mindset that everything is leaving. We're always in lack. Everything is scarce. I grew up in California, and we were always in a drought. And you go to the lake, and it's full, and they're like, but don't use the water because there's a drought. And you can't brush your, commercials of how to brush your teeth and how to do all these things, and you got to take a shower, and you get in and get the heck out. And you just, you remember these commercials? You remember these commercials? They would have, anybody else from California? Commercials of how you need to use water. And you're never not in a drought. And they're like, well, we're not in a drought, but we could be, so you better make sure like we're still in a drought, or we will be. And it's just like, what is, so it's lack, it's scarcity. So we have to refuse the mindset of the world and say, no, we live by a different standard. We have to have a different mindset. We have a different place where everything comes from. So instead of developing a mindset of surplus, we have a lack mindset that makes us clean to everything we have. We can become a lack and scarcity people. Become limited in our thinking and how we live, but we do have a choice. We can break out of the world system of thinking and begin to think God's way. We can break through into God's thoughts, God's ways, and God's abilities for our life. Listen to the Apostle Paul, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. He says, let God transform you into a new person. We can choose to live according to God's surplus and not according to the lack of the world. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds to see the kingdom of God operate on the principle of plentiful supply. He is our supplier. If God is our supplier, there's no such thing as lack or scarcity. You know, if we could get our nation to get on God's program of supply, we might see drought disappear from the U.S. forever. We might see all the lakes fill up and everything turn nice. You might see 80 degrees all year round in Las Vegas. You who knows what you're going to see? If we could just get our nation and ourselves and our governments to all get on God's program and stop preaching lack and scarcity all the time, but say, wait a minute, we're one nation under God. Why do we lack anything? Psalm 65:11 says, you crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. Wow. Does your path drip with abundance? Philippians 4:19, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. They've been given to us. So let's make a deal. Behind door number one, no. Let's become people that believe we are abundant people. That we are children of an abundant God with every resource that could possibly be imagined. Let's agree with God. We are people of abundance. And then let's begin to live that way. The world tells us to keep everything we can. The world tells us to look out for number one because no one else will. It tells us to get ahead by any means necessary and protect everything we have. We, however, are called to take a higher mark with an eternal purpose. We have the choice to be one of four types of people while we're alive. Listen to this. You can be a minus person. You have the minus touch. Everything you touch disappears, man. The minus touch. You can be lacking emotionally and spiritually, financially and relationally, never having enough. We talked about this. We become a burden and not a blessing. Or we can become a plus person, having just enough to be healthy, happy, and secure, having just enough for ourselves, but nothing extra to give. We can become a surplus person, living life to the fullest and having more than enough for ourselves and for those around us. We can be joyful, energized, serving others and extending the kingdom of God. Or finally, we can become a super surplus person who has excessive overflow and runs over the top. We can live freely and liberally and bless others around us and those around the world. Do we have the flow that never stops gushing forth? Think about your life. Think about yourself. Let's think about ourselves. Do we have a flow that is always gushing forth in every area of life? If the answer is no in any area, then guess what? We have the room to grow. We have room to grow into where God would have us be. We can honestly look at the minus issues in our lives and begin to surrender those to God. If you have minus issues in your life, the thing is, we all know where those issues are and what they are. If you have minus things in your life, surrender them to the Lord. Give them up. Say, God, you take them. I don't want them. And he will. We can begin to remove the minuses. We can begin to move from minus to plus, to surplus, to super surplus, to abundance. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. How cool is that? The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and God is not worried about that person being rich. Because God blesses people whose hearts are surrendered to him, and he knows that I can pour riches into them because they will continue to pour riches out. And he makes no apologies for that. They're rich because I said, you know, that's God speaking. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to do. I apologize to nobody about that. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Good wine. So think about that. You want to move from being a person of lack to a person of surplus. So how do you do it? I'm just going to give you just four keys that you will need in your life if you're going to do it. These are just practical things. Number one, the first one is stewardship. Okay? Responsible and careful management of what God has given us is called stewardship. Stewardship involves our time, our strength, our talents, and our money. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Stewardship is an act of worship that recognizes God as the owner of everything. We do everything with his objectives, his interests, and his glorification in mind. The Kraft Corporation was run by J.L. Kraft, and it was massive. And he gave approximately 25% of all his income to church and church causes and Christian causes. And he said this, the only investment, listen, this is from Kraft, the only investment I ever made that has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. There's a guy that knows what's up. Turn to somebody and say, he knows what's up. The financial principles that are there in the Word of God are there because those financial principles are the best way by which you can live your life. Okay? There's no better way that you can live your life than by obeying the financial principles of the Word of God. And we're not going to go into all of them today, but if you don't know what those principles are, begin to look. Begin to study it. God, what does your Word say about giving? And if you'll obey those principles, you will be a blessed person. There, by the way, God's principles are not random principles. God wasn't like, man, I don't know, we'll do this and we'll do that. And I mean, I guess we'll have him do this. And put that in there. Put that in there in the book. You know what I mean? It's not random. He comes up with this stuff because he knows everything. Stewardship believes that God owns everything. Financial principles come from our loving Father's wisdom to those who will listen and trust him. God created everything, and God releases everything. It all comes from him. He created everything, but he also releases everything. If you want a release in your life, it comes from God. In order to get what God has to release, we have to be doing what God has said. It's one, stewardship. Number two is working. Uh-oh. It's going to get real up in here, people. Listen to this, though. God has called every person to be a good and skilled worker. Did you know that? Working with diligence and integrity is biblical. God promises to reward hard work. Look at Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. So the next time you're at work now are accountable to what you just heard. When you are at work now, you now have to look at your boss that can't stand you and realize that you're working for the Lord. Verse 24, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So when you do your work as though you're working for the Lord, you are storing up treasures in heaven, but those blessings are also opened and released here on earth, so that every hard thing that you do as though you're doing it for the Lord, God sees it and he has an inheritance for you, an eternal inheritance that is forever, but a first fruits of that inheritance right here on earth that he pours out right here while we're living and breathing right down here. And he has promised that. It's a reward. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. I had no idea they had get-rich-quick schemes in Solomon's day. But they did. I don't know what they were doing, but it's probably pretty funny. Wealth from hard work grows over time. We live in a time when hard workers are desperately needed. Amen? I don't know. Well, never mind. I'm going to say that. Finding good employees is crucial for any business or company. The better the workers, the more successful the business will be. Characteristics of an employee. Let me just tell you some characteristics of a good employee, someone who is doing their work as unto the Lord, someone that is not seeing their work as the worst thing in the world, but they see work as an opportunity given to them by God to bless people around them. Here's what their characteristics are. Dependability, honesty, integrity, positivity, productivity, punctuality, being proactive and following instructions, being cooperative and getting along with others, being conscientious about break times, being a team player. Did you know that your work ethic projects what you believe? It projects your values and it projects who you are. It's almost like that scripture that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, out of the abundance of the complaining and break stealing, your job reflects. And when we are that kind of people and we don't understand that, man, we can be Christians and come in here and we can worship God and love God and jump around. And then we come to the front, we give it all to God, and we go to work and we just are a pain in the butt all day at our job. And everyone here may see the wonderful Christian that we are, but everybody out there sees a slime ball. I'm just saying what they would see. It's not what we are. I'm just saying what they would see. Our work ethic projects what we believe in our values. Our work attitude communicates what we think about our job, our coworkers, and our boss. Our attitude does. Have you ever had a bad attitude at work? I have. And you know, as I grew in the Lord kept busting me about my bad attitude at work until I was able to bless the people that I work for. And then the last job that I had before I came here, our boss was really a cool dude, I thought, and he didn't do anything, which is not bad when you just need to get your job done. But even when he would do nothing, I just got to just bless the guy. Who cares? You know what I mean? We're over there slaving away and dying, and he's sipping on a Coke, and we're just getting the job done. But you realize that if I have a bad attitude about this, it's going to project me around this place. It's not my job to figure out why my boss is not doing a good job. That's his boss's job. My job is to sit there and do my job as best I can. Trust me, his boss will figure out something's up. I learned to bless those people regardless. You know, when you're working with people that believe absolutely the opposite of you, you know, then they're your boss and you just love them, you know. Just bless them anyways. Be a positive worker with a positive attitude. You got to have a good attitude. Do your best work wherever you are or for whomever you work for. Be an example of a true worker. Be proactive and go after things rather than waiting for them to come to you. The job or work you are doing right now may not necessarily make you happy, but we maintain a right attitude even in difficult situations. Remember, happiness doesn't come from a job. The Bible promises promotion, blessing, favor, and prosperity for the hard worker who serves with diligence, honesty, and skill. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings." Right? He will not stand before obscure men. Be an excellent employee and you will stand out and show the character of Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, this principle is absolutely key to a surplus life and surplus living. Without being able to work with a good attitude and produce, you will not see the blessing of the Lord in your life. This is one that is really disappearing these days. Now, many of you have jobs, but some of you you're retired already. But it's okay. God still has work for you to do. Someone may call you up. "Hey, can you help me move my couch?" No, call me again. Your attitude has just been seen. Everything about you is now revealed. You're a couch hater. You're not going to help. You're not going to bless. Every one of us have something to do. There's an absolute link in the chain to surplus. You're going to have to put this in place in your life for it to work. The last two, number one is giving. Think about this. Giving of our resources. Giving begins with the church that God has placed you in. When you give, it activates the divine release of blessing in your personal life. Sometimes giving to the Lord doesn't necessarily feel super personal, but the blessing from God is personal to you, right down to the very tip of your toes when you give to the Lord. And you give to God first. So the Bible says, give your first fruits. The very first thing you give, the very first place you give, is you give to the Lord. And there's a divine blessing that is open because of that. Giving is key to abundant living and living a surplus life. Listen to Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. You give to God first. The first part of our earnings, income, profits, we cheerfully give to the Lord. He in turn promises to press it down, shake it up, and pour it back to us. Multiply it how? He will multiply above what we could ask or think. Abundant living never happens without giving. Giving that believes for abundant resources to be poured back on us by God from all of his riches. This is a promise from God and we should believe it wholeheartedly. I know this is a hard place, you know, because you just think, well, church just wants my money. No, God wants your money. The church, we are taken care of by God. Whether or not anyone gives to any church has no bearing on whether or not Dunamis prospers. Because Dunamis prospers because of what God has designed. I'm just telling you the principles for your personal life that will boil down into your very daily walk. So understand that. Churches that use condemnation for giving and beg for giving are churches that do not trust God. Let me just tell you. They're not trusting the Lord. We do. And so we don't use condemnation. Trust me, I've been on the condemnation side of giving many times. And nothing will close my pocket up faster. Seriously. So I want you to feel dunamis. Let me just say this. Dunamis, the prosperity of what God's doing here does not depend on any one of us. It depends on God. Whether we choose to give or not, God is going to prosper this place because he'll bring somebody that can do it. And so I want you to understand that. What I'm saying to you is giving is a blessing and opportunity for you. It's for you. It's for you. But what would giving be without receiving? This is the last thing, receiving. God responds to our giving by opening up the doors of opportunity to receive divine provision. This happens both directly and indirectly from God. How many of you have ever seen divine provision in your life? Where there was something that you needed or something you were hoping for or praying for, and God divinely provided it. And he may do it directly by speaking to you or just having it show up on your doorstep. Or he may do it indirectly. All of a sudden, pops up on Craigslist, the very thing you needed, and it's way cheaper than you ever thought. And you're calling, oh, I'm coming over in 5 minutes. You know, one of those. You ever had that happen? You think God can't throw Craigslist on your Facebook page just to give you what you've been asking for? He can do it. And so you don't give to give. You do. But you give also in faith, believing that God is also the giver. You give with faith, believing that God said, if I give, he will give back to me. And so I have to believe it. You must believe it. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be given back to you. For the same measure that you give, it will be given back to you. The phrase, it will be given to you, is the promise of receiving that God has promised into your life. Do you understand that? That phrase, it will be given back to you, God was not kidding. He's not joking about it. He's saying to you, I am sure going to pour it back to you. Receiving is a faith position that is key to abundant living. How many of you have ever had a hard time just receiving things? I'm raising my hand because that was me. I never wanted to receive anything, you know. I just want to give, 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 give. I'm the guy there. I'm going to help you move. I'm going to be there with my truck. Yes, I have a truck. Yes, I will help you move. I'm there with you. I'm there for you. And I just want to give. But God had to really break me of the ability or break me from the pessimism of receiving. Because the Bible says, well, it's better to give than to receive. This is true. It also says that I'm promising you, God is saying, that I will make you receive. And so you have, right, anybody ever had that problem? God had to break me to be able to receive stuff. Now, when people come to give me things, I just say, thank you. Whoa. Wow. But I know that I'm not alone in this room, that there are people here that have a hard time receiving. And you just have to say, it is a promise from God that I will receive. So you say yes. Be a giver, be a receiver. A farmer sows seed and expects a harvest from what he has given. So we expect to receive from God when we give. We plant, and God gives the increase. Now here's what you don't do. You don't say, well, I gave money, God, so now I have to have money and it has to be in this. You don't decide how God is going to bless you. You just receive. Because what you'll do is you'll open yourself up to get mad at God when the blessings don't come the way you have designated that God should pour them out. But we just receive. And God blesses us in many, many ways. We plant and God gives the increase. We must have the faith expectation that believes we will receive our full portion from God. Those who ask receive. Receive what? Increase. I think we heard an increase this morning. Blessing, favor, multiplication, miracles in every area of our lives. The more we receive, the more we give, the more we receive. The more we give, the more we receive, the more we give. The more we receive, and the more we give, the more we receive, the more we give. Come on, and the more we receive and the more we give. We keep receiving so much, and you're like this, man, I'm really receiving. Well, let me just give a little bit. And then you receive even more. That's how it works. It starts, isn't it interesting that it starts by giving, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. And then what did he receive? Well, all of us. And many, 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 many more. You got to give first, and God says, now you can receive. Those who ask, receive. The more we receive, the more we give. The more we give, the more we receive. Make a statement of faith in your life today that you will give and receive and give. How many of you understand what I'm talking about here? So I want you to say yes to abundant living. Don't be satisfied with mediocre status quo living. Don't be satisfied with just a little bit, because God has way more than a little bit. Now, if God says to you, I want you to be satisfied in this little bit because I want to give you more, then just be satisfied with it. But if you have a little bit only because your faith will not let you get more, then don't be satisfied and say, God, increase my faith. Give me the ability to give so that I can now begin to receive. Now, I have seen people that their dissatisfaction has to do with what they want. So they have everything they need and even more. But because they don't have what they want, they're dissatisfied. Now what happens is you can begin to push for what you want without ever being satisfied. What I mean is, sometimes God will wait for us to say, I'm fine right here as long as I have you. And when you get there, now he will begin to pour superabundance into your life. But when our life becomes chasing after material things or chasing after things, anything else but God, he can often pull back and say, no, I'll wait until you decide that I'm first. So make sure that that is the case. What I'm saying is, don't be satisfied if God is saying, I have so much more for you. And you know God is kicking you in the rear to move, then go. Let go. Don't be satisfied with that. God desires that we receive abundantly and have more than enough so that we can bless others and become generous givers. John, 3 John, verse 2, says, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. An abundant life is successful flourishing or thriving condition in all aspects of life. Abundance spiritually, emotionally, domestically, relationally, financially, and health. Say yes to abundant living. Amen. Come on, stand up with me today.